superchargers, headlights, and more. With over 122 million parts, eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Stay on your A-game with all the parts you need at the prices you want. It's easy to bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Now available on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
Oh, my God.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
And there it is. Quarterback draw. Touchdown, Miami.
They love playing with him.
Yes, they do. Mobbing him in the end zone.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
You know, for all the ladies out there, I'm taken. I'm sorry. And for my wife, get the kids to bed. It's getting late.
The Rich Eisen Show. Today's guests. Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Authors of the new book, God Level Knowledge Darts. Jesus and Miro, plus Green Bay Packers quarterback Aaron Rodgers. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
All right, welcome. This edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live in Los Angeles on a Friday. I am Rich Eisen adjusting the volume of my earpieces so I can hear myself. It's a great day. We've got ourselves a fun
this
show.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Thank you. It's a fun 3-hour show that we're thrilled to be here. Week 3 is underway in the NFL. Game 4s are complete in Western Conference Finals and Eastern Conference Finals. And the NBA Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final is tonight on ENBC, which is going to have the Saints and Packers game on Sunday night, and we will have that front and center in our final hour of the program, since one of the quarterbacks, well, the only quarterback who's still alive from who's going to be starting in that game is going to be joining us, Aaron Rodgers. I wonder what he thinks of the narrative of Drew Brees is the, as we said on yesterday's show, the Terry Kaiser of the NFL. That's a reference to the actor who played Bernie in Weekend at Bernie's. It's basically somebody's going to just prop up Drew Brees and just move his right arm. It's, it could be Johnny Silverman. I got to call Johnny. So that'll be fun with Aaron. And first up to discuss that narrative, too, is Kurt Warner.
Oh, yeah.
Kurt's going to be first up. And can't wait to talk to Kurt also about Carson Wentz. As you know, I think that is the story of week three that is a major storyline that is hidden by the Sunday night marquee of Green Bay and the Saints, and the Monday night marquee of the Ravens and the Chiefs, and all the other games that are on the week three in bulk Sunday marquee, like the Cowboys at the Seahawks in Houston at Pittsburgh, just to name a few. So those are two quarterbacks, one in the Hall of Fame, and Kurt, one that's going to the Hall of Fame, and Aaron Rodgers. Jesus and Mero, two funny guys, man, from the Bronx, from the Boogie Down. So it'll be Staten Island and the Bronx together right in the middle of the show for a fun laugh. Good times here today. And we kick off this show. We kick off this show, as you see right there. That's our lineup right here on our quadcast. We kick off the show. What I say, I think I say this to you all the time before we go on the air, Chris.
Mm-hmm.
And you can confirm this.
Yeah.
I look at you and I say, it's winning time, right?
Yeah.
Don't I say that to you?
Basically every day.
Literally, we come on the air at noon Eastern. It's 9 o'clock out here. I look at you at like 8:59:30 on the clock, 30 seconds ago. I look at you, I say, it's winning time, right?
Yep.
That's what LeBron and I have in common. I think it was Shams Charania of The Athletic who was on the show last week from the bubble prior to the Western Conference Finals beginning. I said, who's going to guard Jamal Murray, right?
Yep.
I asked him. And he said KCP, and I even asked if it was Rondo.
And maybe Caruso.
Right, and he said on occasion, LeBron will probably take him. Well, that occasion arrived last night. That arrived last night with a 14-point Laker lead, hacked down to two possessions by the plucky Nuggets, the resilient Nuggets. And LeBron marked Jamal Murray, and Jamal did not have a single basket from the field the rest of the way. Had a couple free throws. And LeBron in the fourth quarter, this is the Pro Football Focus of the NBA. There's all these stats for any sport that you can you have as a defender, a record, if you will, a stat of closest defender to anybody.
Oh, interesting.
So LeBron James, when he was the closest defender, those he was defending was 0 for 6 from the floor in the fourth quarter.
That's good.
So LeBron, with a rebound and two assists, shy of a triple-double, 26 points on the night. And when he and Anthony Davis combine for an even 60, that's going to be very difficult to beat the Lakers. Rondo chipped in. So did the aforementioned KCP, who had a big three-point shot late in that game. And so when LeBron and Anthony Davis combine for 60, and then LeBron plays that defense and says it's winning time, and that is the ultimate respect. If you're looking for any signal, forget about the fact that I come on this show and talk into this microphone and say he got me off the couch many times in his performance in Game 3 and throughout these playoffs, and the NBA Twitter is throwing rose petals at his feet as he's well-deserved. The basket last night where he switched hands on the way to the hoop, and then, you know, Jordan went switched hands and went just straight up with it around one defender. He went underneath and clutched it and flipped it, spun it off the top of the backboard, and the person he went past was Dwight Howard, and underneath was LeBron. I mean, Jamal Murray is making his mark. But the fact that LeBron says, I got him, to me, is the ultimate signal that Jamal Murray has arrived, in case anybody's wondering. I got him. I'm going to take him. And I'm reading all these game reports about this, and we heard what LeBron said afterwards. It's winning time. And I thought one of the articles about it that I read pointed out that LeBron's son is closer in age to Jamal Murray than LeBron himself.
Wow.
And LeBron is like, I got him, and I will make sure he does not shoot. And that's why he's the best player in the NBA today, as he will remind everyone on occasion. And he's one game away from taking the Lakers back to the NBA Finals. And you could also say the Nuggets have the Lakers right where they want them. Because for the third straight series, they're down 3-1. And they're here in a third straight series because they came back twice from being down 3-1. It's just this time, you know, there's different methods in which they have fallen down by 3-1. This time they took game 3. We'll see what happens. Because they have yet to lose in this situation. And if they win, if they win over the weekend, guess what? They'll be 7-0 in this situation. In these playoffs, they'll be 7-0. It would behoove the Lakers just to take care of business and knock them right out.
Oh, well, yeah, of course.
Because, as you know, things build and they grow. Sort of like Ryan Fitzpatrick's beard. They build and they grow. The legend. I came on the show yesterday. I started the show yesterday previewing the Week 3 Thursday Night Football kickoff on NFL Network to say how entertaining it will be, beard versus the mustache and what have you. But keep an eye out for the fact that if the offense struggles in the manner that it did in Weeks 1 and 2, maybe Brian Flores does what Hugh Jackson was forced to do due to injury 2 years prior in Week 3 on a Thursday Night Football exclusive game, Jets at Browns. Jets performing very well. Browns go to Baker Mayfield because Tyrod Taylor gets hurt, and Baker Mayfield wins the game, and Baker Mayfield is yet to give up the starting position. Silly me. The fact that I would think that for even a split second, when we are talking about the one, the only, the original, there is only one. There will be another. There will never be another.
Oh, never, ever.
Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
I honestly should have. I should have known better. I really should have known better that this guy who has been there and done that for everyone, literally. He's played. There's 32 NFL franchises. He's played for 35 of them. And it's really amazing. It's really amazing. And the way that he finds receivers and the way that he takes hits and the way that he throws in windows he shouldn't, and then the way that he actually makes perfect throws and the way that he runs for first downs and the way that he inspires. That he inspires. You could see that his teammates love playing with him, playing for him, protecting him, picking him up off the mat after he's gained a first down or scored a touchdown, or he's picking up what he needs to do for his team that is down. Tua's cheering him on because he's a sweetheart. right? You could see the relationship budding. You could see that Ryan Fitzpatrick is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Fitzmagic showed up last night in Duval County. He was terrific. You've got your apologies on my apologies to Fitzmagic written on the grease board.
When I'm wrong, I'm wrong.
I should have known better.
This is what he does.
And in case anybody's wondering about Ryan Fitzpatrick, what would be the most Fitzpatrick statistic that captures his entire career? If you can boil it down to one statistic, one was born last night. And it is this. Ryan Fitzpatrick is the first guy to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars for six different teams.
What?
Fact.
That's amazing.
Squad goals.
Nobody has beaten the Jacksonville Jaguars six times for six different teams. Sure, people have beaten the Jaguars six times in their career.
Sure.
That has happened.
Of course.
There are people on the planet who can raise their hand and say that. But only one. Like, say, someone who is the first man on the moon, right? Only one person could say, I was the first man on the moon, right? He's the Armstrong of the NFL when it comes to beating the Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yeah, so he's beaten them with the Bengals.
Yes, he has.
The Bills.
That's correct.
The Titans.
Yes.
The Texans.
And then most importantly.
The Jets.
Yes.
And now the Dolphins.
And now the Dolphins. Take that, Duval County.
6-3 career against
Take that. And then he'll show up on NFL Network's post-game show rocking a pineapple-patterned Hawaiian or Miami shirt with one button too few buttoned, showing off other body hair.
Mm-hmm.
It's been about the beard. It's been about the mustache. But after the game, it was about the chest hair.
Yep.
And him apologizing to all the ladies out there. He's a taken man. And to his wife, put all of his children to bed. If I'm not mistaken, he has one more child than he does teams that he's beaten the Jacksonville Jaguars with career.
Oh, is he closing in on Philly?
I think he is. He is.
Stand by.
God bless Ryan Fitzpatrick. I got to say, I should have known better. I should have known better. Wherever he goes, he winds up starting.
Yeah, seven kids.
He winds up starting for these teams. And the number of times where he's brought in to not start for these teams, and he winds up starting for them, and then he'll win for them. One of the best seasons the Jets have had in the last several years, he was the quarterback for. One of the best years prior to the Bills getting this renaissance with Josh Allen and Sean McDermott, he was the quarterback there. The Titans had a fine year with him at the helm. God bless it. How the hell did I not see that coming last night? I apologize. I'm apologizing to. I don't have a grease board. I'll just say it into my.
This can be from both of us.
It's from all of us. It's from all of us. Honestly. Aaron Rodgers, we all know, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Has he beaten the Jaguars for six different teams?
Oh, no. Nope. No.
And hey, the Dolphins are 1-2. They're not 0-3. You know, now we're sitting here wondering about the Jaguars passing game all of a sudden. And this is what you're going to get with Gardner Minshew. You'll get games where Minshew magic happens. It's Minshew mania. And other times, it's just.
You're going to get duds, man.
This kid Robinson's a good running back, though. You could see that.
Yeah. Played against him in fantasy.
I'll go higher edges. They've got some good offensive players there.
Yeah, look, they were without their best wide receiver. DJ Chark didn't play last night. So, right. I mean, I'm going to give Minshew sort of a pass.
Well, the same way that we're saying about Breeze didn't have his number one guy.
Not the same.
No, you're a quarterback. You have one guy that you look for perhaps more than most, that you rely on more than most, and that person is gone. It's gonna affect your way of quarterbacking.
I would say Drew Brees would kill to have Gardner Minshew's arm strength right now.
Wow. I will. So you are really going in on this thing?
I want to see it. I want to see it more.
Like he's old. He's washed.
Look, at the end of last year, it was kind of rough. And now through two games, it's not great either. So I want to see if, you know, what's still left.
All right.
Rich, that's kind of like if Chris is
I disagree. As you know, I disagree. Oh, there yet. I can't wait to see what Kurt Warner will say because he watches all 22s for every game. He sees everything. His note-taking is the stuff of legends. And he's created a stat.
No.
He created a stat called game-changing plays.
I like it.
And he dropped that on live TV on NFL Game Day morning on Sunday.
Without telling anyone?
We had no. He said, I've created a stat with NFL research help, sort of like the QBR, okay, you know, that ESPN came up with. Uh-huh. I still, because to, I guess, make quarterback rating more relatable, and it's still equally as unrelatable to me because I don't do math. I just don't do math. I just, so I don't know what goes into the QBR or quarterback rating.
Passer rating.
Yeah. I don't get all of that. He's come up with a stat called game-changing plays, I believe is what it's called. And he just mentioned it, and Irv called him out like, "How do you get a stat?" And Kurt, and then he's like, asked him what goes into it, and Kurt then said the producers don't give him enough time to explain it on the air. Just trust him. This exchange happened on the air, at which point I jumped in and said, "Look, we all have to stay together here on NFL Game Day morning." As Kurt has just thrown the producers under the bus, and Irv is upset he doesn't have his own stat.
I mean, did Kurt want a blackboard like Goodwill Hunting?
I don't know. All I know is here on the Rich Eisen Show, we have more than enough runway for him to discuss Breeze and also Wentz, who I think is the storyline of week three.
I'm just glad you're not wearing a backwards hat to explain it.
What does that mean?
Oh, boy.
Uh-oh.
What did I just step into?
You didn't step into anything. Keep going.
One of your,
what?
How do we say this? Someone who is also in your same line of work.
Okay.
Took umbrage to the fact that Wentz wore a backwards hat to a presser.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll just
Must have missed that.
Yeah. Be glad that you missed it.
And it's one of the first two people that pop in your head, I'm sure.
It's pretty embarrassing.
Well, at any rate, Wentz, to me, hat forward or backwards.
Yeah, okay.
If he loses to Joey Burrow at home, sends the Eagles season into a total tailspin disarray at 0-3, wondering what's going on. Does Wentz need a break? So we'll see what Kurt Warner has to say about that and also set the stage for Aaron Rodgers in hour number three. And we still have more than enough runway for him to explain about his new statistic that he's very proud of.
I'm excited for this.
And he sees all 22. Our poll question is dynamite. We'll get to that. But let's take a break right now.
Let's go.
And make sure we're on time for Kurt Warner. Desus Nice and the Kid Mero together. Hilarious. Aaron Rodgers, our unluckiest lock of the week, picks of the week, and more. Call us, 844-204-RICH. This season, get football on your time with NFL Game Pass. You can catch every snap from every game with full replays and see all of the plays in just 45 minutes with condensed games. You can relive all the gutsy calls, crazy catches, wild comebacks, and breakout stars from every game every week. It's all the action, all the football you can handle, all in one place. And NFL Game Pass is the only place you can replay every game all season long. You'll also learn from the league's best players with over 40 NFL Game Pass film session episodes. Go inside the game from a player's perspective as they break down the game's concepts and techniques. Learn from the best like Deshaun Watson, Stephon Gilmore, Davante Adams, and many, many more. NFL Game Pass also provides access to the entire NFL Films archives. I'll tell you what, folks, you cannot do without NFL Game Pass and being a football fan. It makes it so much better. Go to NFL.com/Game Pass to start your free trial today. NFL Game Pass, where football never stops. We are live on Peacock. Our terrestrial radio audience will rejoin us shortly. We're live on Sirius XM channel 211. Aaron Rodgers coming up later on. Same with Desus and Mero. That's two funny guys from the Boogie Down Bronx. Don't miss that conversation. That's coming up later on. Our poll question, Chris Brockman at Rich Eisen Show. Let's unpack that right here on this busy Friday. What do you have for me?
Okay, guys, it's a National One-Hit Wonder Day.
Is that right?
Yeah.
One Hit Wonder Day. So we're talking Aha and Macarena and Tainted Love. And
the,
all one, that,
the Wonders?
All that fun
the
stuff.
The Wonders, Size, yes.
The Oneaters.
The Oneaters.
Up them Gangnam Style.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was thinking, who's the greatest NFL One Hit Wonder?
Okay.
So I've got three really good ones. I'm open to a fourth. We can just go with three. I'm talking about David Tyree. Yes. For the helmet catch. Larry Brown, sorry, TJ, gifted three picks in the Super Bowl by Neil O'Donnell.
Got that ring, though. Yep.
MVP of that game. And Timmy Smith, Redskins running back,
and
still holds the record for single-game rushing yards in
the
Super Bowl.
And add the fourth, since we've already graphically done it. Okay. I fully approve it. I approve this message.
Peyton Hillis was our fourth. He did it for a whole season on the cover of Madden the next year, wearing cowboy boots and all that, and then... Poof.
Madden NFL 12. The cover player on NFL Madden NFL 12.
You guys can call us 844-204-RICH if you need
At Rich Eisen Show is how you can vote.
Let us know.
And now joining us here on the Rich Eisen Show in Los Angeles. Oh, well, before that, just in case he didn't see this, I'm sure he did. Much of America did. When Ryan Fitzpatrick showed up to the NFL Network postgame show on Thursday Night Football, rocking a pineapple-patterned Miami shirt, unbuttoned a little bit too much at the top, and then Steve Smith asked Ryan Fitzpatrick the question America wanted posed.
Speaking of chest hair, I love the shirt. I just want to know, how much more was the shirt with the chest hair? Was that an accessory? Is that custom made? You know, walk us through that process.
Yeah, I finally hid it for a long time, and then I realized that, you know, it's an important feature of who I am. So, you know, for all the ladies out there, I'm taken. I'm sorry. And for my wife, get the kids to bed. It's getting late.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ryan Fitzpatrick.
I mean, if you can do it, do it.
And the sweatpants.
I mean, and those pants.
I mean, it's just you rocked it. I mean, you rocked it. My gosh. After that, he probably went off to the birdcage. If it's, you know, I don't know. I'm sure it's. They might have outdoor seating at the birdcage these days.
It's probably open.
It's open.
Ryan Fitzpatrick, the winner on Thursday Night Football, and somebody who's been at it so long, he was teammates with Kurt Warner. Back in the day, Kurt Warner joining me here on the Rich Eisen Show. He's my teammate now. What's up, Kurt? How are you?
I'm good, man. How are you?
What do you think of Fitzmagic, Kurt?
We all love Fitzmagic. I mean, you know, he just the energy that he brings, the excitement, the fact that he doesn't care about, you know, what people say or what people think. He's just out there being him. You know, I've been a fan of Ryan for a long time, and you know, and the great thing is that you know he can play football. You know, I think oftentimes as we see him bounce around, you know, we kind of get this persona because he's been in so many different places that, well, he's not really that good. He just continues to find himself in a spot where he gets on the field every once in a while, and it's rocky up and down. The guy knows how to play football. And, you know, last night was a prime example of some great things that he did that I think a lot of people can learn from, especially that young quarterback that's sitting next to him.
Yeah, I thought for sure that if there was any struggles on the offense in week three, that maybe it would be Tua time. Certainly, you know, in a short week, just throw him out there. I was just dumb. How did I not see last night coming? How did I not see last night coming that he would just be? And you could see his teammates love him. They pick him up. They dust him off. He picks them up figuratively, literally. It's great. It's fun to watch.
It's fun to watch, and it just seems perfect for where they're at because they are going through a rebuilding process, and they're trying to figure out who they are and you know what they're going to be moving forward. And you need a guy that that just continually brings energy and brings everybody up and lets you feel like you can, you know, you have hope and that you can believe every single week. And so, as you said, you know, they're sitting at 0-2, and you're not really sure going into the Jags, who really in you know the offseason, a lot of us are kind of kicked them to the side, go, man, they gave away all their talent. Now if we lose to them, where are we sitting? And he comes out and you know just with that energy and that childlike manner that he has, and you can see, as you said, everybody just kind of comes up to another notch and starts to believe and have hope when he's in there playing like that at quarterback.
And he's also the first man in the history of the NFL to beat the Jacksonville Jaguars for six different teams. Did you know that stat? That's a fact.
I did not know that.
That's a fact. That's a fact. It's a record. Nobody's ever done it. Six different teams. Bengals, Bills, Titans, Texans, Jets, now Dolphins. He's beaten the Jaguars.
That's incredible. That's incredible.
It really is. It really does describe the fact that he's been around a lot and he just keeps winning. But let's place that aside for the moment. Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. I'm just going to come straight through the front door. What is up with Carson Wentz? What ails him right now from what you're seeing, Kurt?
I think there's a couple things. I think the first part, and you know, I've been seeing it for a number of years, is that mechanically or technically, he's off. He needs to clean up his mechanics. That, you know, we have so many talented players in this league, and when you're really talented, you can get away with a lot of things. I mean, Patrick Mahomes is a great example that his, you know, technique gets away from him quite often. But he's so talented that he makes up for it most of the time. And then as you fall back in the talent pool and you're less and less talented, and your technique is bad, you have more and more struggles. Now, Carson is extremely talented in a lot of ways, but not as talented as some other guys. And when his technique gets away from him, the ball gets away from him. And that's why we're seeing so many ups and downs with Carson, is because it starts right there with missing throws that he's supposed to make, missing reads that he's supposed to make. And then when you put all that together and now your team falls behind the eight ball, you know, what everybody's talking about is now he starts pressing and feeling like now I've got to make up for that by making the big throw every time. And then he gets away from everything and just starts taking chances down the field and hopes that they'll work out for him, as opposed to just playing the game and playing it consistently well. And I always say it, that I think you can be a really good quarterback in this league if you make the layups. That means if you read what you're supposed to read and throw it to the guy that the defense tells you to throw it to, if you can do that most of the time, you'll be a solid quarterback in this league. And then the great ones, they do that plus something extra. But if you don't make the layups, it's always going to be a struggle in this business unless you're just ridiculously talented. And that's what I see with Carson Wentz, is that he's missing some of those layups, whether it's either throws or reads, and then he's trying to make up for it with special throws. And if you live in that world, what's happening to the Eagles is what happens to you.
Well, I mean, I couldn't help but notice you say that for years you've been noticing this about Wentz. I mean, Doug Peterson has been around the block from his own quarterbacking, being a teammate of Favre's. You want to talk about, I guess, anybody who might be unconventional. But, I mean, he knows quarterbacking. How is his footwork not improved or at all cleaned up by now?
Well, again, Kurt, there's always a couple factors here. You know, the first one, like I said, is that Carson will use that footwork and he'll make some really special throws. And so when guys make certain throws and then miss certain throws with that same technique, you kind of get lulled into going, okay, maybe it's not the technique because you see that throw that he just made. And so, again, you have to pull back from that and go, yes, he's talented enough to make some throws with bad technique, but he's not going to make them all and it's going to come back to hurt him. So that's, I think, the first part. And then the second part is what you realize when you're playing in the NFL is there is really very little time throughout weeks in which you can focus on your technique. A lot of times it becomes self-scouting, having to watch yourself on film and go, man, I'm not doing that very well. I better make sure I work on that in the few drills that we have, or the off-season time when you can truly focus on your technique and get around someone that can help you to get better so you create the right habits. So when you get into the grind of the season or the game, it becomes natural to you, because it is very hard to improve technique-wise throughout the season because you're so focused on game planning and running those plays and getting ready for the next team that you don't have a lot of drills where we can just say, okay, forget about all that and let's just work on your feet.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. You know it. I know it. You've heard it. I've heard it. You know, when I say I know it, you know it, that on Saturday when we have our Zoom meeting in advance of our four-hour edition of NFL Game Day Morning, the conversation of is Drew Brees washed going to come up, and we will have a conversation about it once an hour with four different ways to ask the very same question, Kurt. So what did you see on film and think of the narrative about Brees coming out of the Monday night loss in Vegas?
Well, first of all, he's not washed up. I mean, he can still throw, and he's still got enough arm strength, and he didn't just fall off a cliff and you know, go from what he did last year to not being able to play this year. That's not the case. You know, even if
physical skills diminish a little bit, there's still plenty of stuff that you can see to go, okay, he's got plenty of physical skill to play this game. I'm actually going to show it a little bit on Sunday in an XO. But he is off. And, you know, what Drew has always been known for is his tremendous ability to see the field, see what's going on, make the right decision, and then his incredible accuracy. And those are two things that have been a little bit off here in the first 2 weeks. And, you know, it's hard to really pinpoint why that is, what's going on. You know, Monday night, is it because you don't have Michael Thomas, so you're thinking the game a little bit differently than you have for the last couple years because of him being your go-to guy? Is it because of no preseason or a different training camp? I don't really know, but there's some technique issues that I believe are a little bit off with Drew. That's, you know, and you know, again, I'm going to show some of this in Mourner's Corner on Sunday, is that he's still completing some passes, but normally Drew Brees, when he completes a pass, you know, he's the most accurate quarterback in the history of our game. The ball's right where it's supposed to be, right? A guy's running across the field and it's right on his upfield shoulder, so he catches it and he turns and he gets another 7 or 8 yards. He's still completing some of those throws now, but the ball's off a little bit. And that's what I'm seeing. And, you know, the interception that, you know, that happened on Monday night. Now, we've all been in situations where, you know, we get blocked off by our offensive lineman and we don't see a defender and we hit the defender between the numbers. That happens to all of us. So you can't just look at that and go, well, you see, he didn't see that guy. And I don't know what happened there. But that is a rare thing for a Drew Brees, to drop back and miss a guy right in front of him and throw it and hit the guy between the numbers. You know, does that mean he's not seeing the field and the game's going too fast right now for him? Maybe. Or maybe he just got blocked off because, you know, offensive lineman was in his face. But there's things like that that you're seeing in the first 2 weeks that just make you say, okay, he's not on the top of his game right now, but I don't look at it and say, well, he's lost the skill to be able to play, because there's still some throws in there where you go, not too many guys are going to be able to see that and make that throw. It's just not as consistent as Drew Brees usually is.
So then let's put a button on both of these. Which quarterback's regression, who's really regressing, Wentz or Brees? I mean, which one concerns you more?
Well, I mean, I'm not worried about Drew Brees. I think he's going to find it. And like I said, he's a technician. And oftentimes when you're a technician and you get back to the technique, that can help carry you. I'm worried about Carson because, as I've said, it's been a couple years running now where I'm seeing the same sort of mistakes. And you know, and we haven't seen the consistency from a Carson Wentz that we saw from Drew Brees. We saw that 1 year, that was phenomenal. But since then, it's been really rocky and up and down and kind of all over. So I'm more worried about Carson Wentz being able to kind of rein it back in, tighten things up, and become, you know, more of a consistent quarterback.
And, of course, Wentz has got a so-called winnable game with Cincinnati and Joe Burrow coming in. And then on the other hand, you have, however, Brees taking on Aaron Rodgers, my third hour guest. What are you seeing from Aaron Rodgers so far this year, Kurt?
Aaron looks great. I mean, he looks comfortable in the system. He's in full control. We've always known that he can throw the ball. And so, you know, with Aaron, when he was winning those MVPs and he was comfortable in the situation he was in, when a guy like Aaron plays on time, on schedule, makes those layups that I'm talking about, and then can be special with Aaron Rodgers, that's when he's an MVP. For a couple years, I felt like he either got uncomfortable with the guys around him or the system or whatever. We know Mike McCarthy's gone now. He got uncomfortable with that, where he got away from playing the game by reading, staying in the pocket, you know, playing on time. And he fell back more on that athleticism and making plays, and he was trying to live in that world too much. And so he struggled a little bit more, and, you know, he didn't play up to his potential. Early this year, all I've seen is him back to that MVP-type form. He's playing with timing and anticipation. He looks comfortable in the pocket. He's making those throws and then allowing the special plays to come to him. When Aaron Rodgers plays like that and he's comfortable like that, the results are what we've seen through 2 weeks, 240-plus games, and a guy that's in full command and shows that he can still do everything that that we've ever seen him do on a football field. So I'm excited to see where this season goes with this team. I mean, you know, on our kickoff show, I kicked the Packers out of the playoffs. Now they, you know, look arguably like one of the best teams in football because of that comfort level in year two, in this system, and the way Aaron Rodgers is playing. So hopefully he can continue this all year, because it's going to make the NFC even greater.
Kurt Warner here on the Rich Eisen Show. Chris, does Kurt sound a little bit more comfortable himself? Does he sound more confident himself than usual?
Yeah.
Do you know that Kurt has his own statistic?
Is that why we're hearing you have a little bit more? I've always been
kind of comfortable in my own skin, but that never hurts when you can create your own stat, and it's a really cool stat.
Tell me about this statistic, Kurt.
What's cool about it is that when you're so intelligent that not a lot of people can understand what the stat is, right? They're like, hey, you guys won't understand this. Just trust me.
Yeah.
This is a vital stat, and it's very pertinent to what happens in the NFL. So yeah, I'm having a little bit of fun with that.
Okay, it's called – because I know you complained literally on live television over the weekend on Sunday that you did not have enough time – to unpack what this statistic is, what the ingredients are to come up with this one number that you think is so indicative of somebody's efficiency or success. What is the stat, Kurt, and what goes into it? What's the Kurt Warner stat, Kurt Warner?
Okay, so the stat is what we call game-changing plays. It's a game-changing play stat. And so it's not about a person as much as it's about a team. And so it's about all the game-changing plays that happen within a game, which, you know, are those things that, you know, can be anything from a sack to a tackle for loss to a turnover to a big play, a third and long play, a punt inside the 20. So there's all kinds of factors.
You including punting? Goes into the stat?
Punters are people, too. So those are game-changing plays. The hidden yards within a game, and so we've created a stat that has all these game-changing, aspects to it.
Yes.
Then we put it together for different teams.
Yes.
And you start to realize that the teams that have more game-changing plays are the teams that win more games, and that's the argument. Like with the Cowboys, is they might do a lot of good things, but those game-changing plays is where they've always struggled. And so that's what happens when you lose football games. You play well, and the stats look good, but you don't make those key plays at the key moments. And so that's what the stat is. I'm trying to work on getting a board this week, Richard, so that we can explain it to the viewers and I can explain it to you three so we can better understand what it is. But just understand it's a really good stat, and it's really telling on whether teams are going to be successful or not.
So it's not an individual player statistic. It is a team stat. It's about team.
It is about team.
And so when a punt is kicked inside the 20, they get what, like a check mark, or they get a decimal figure,
they basically get a point. So we're looking at how many game changing plays a team has on average week to week. Or if you're looking at two teams that played and say a team that you didn't expect to win wins, you go back and look at game changing plays, and oftentimes the team that wins has more of those game changing plays, whatever they may be, right? Somebody doesn't necessarily look at a punt inside the 20 and go, oh, wow, that's a game changing play. But it flips the field position. It changes the way an offense has to play football when they're inside their 10-yard line or inside their 20. And those are the little things within the game that a lot of people don't account for. Yet I'm accounting for them, Rich.
Yes,
you can't account for everything, even punters.
So
punters are people too. You taught me that a couple years ago, so
yes.
I'm applying that.
Well, you had me at hello there. So, who leads the NFL currently in game changing plays, Kurt?
I do not know this year. So I know. Well, again, we just kind of pulled it back in. It was only week two. I'll look into that.
Okay.
But when you look back to last year,
you
look at teams. The Ravens were number one. 49ers were up there. The Patriots, right? Even though they didn't play great offense, they were in the top three in game-changing plays. They win 12 games, even with a struggling offense, because they found ways to make plays in other places. So so that just gives you an idea. Those teams that, you know, got 12 wins, 13 wins last year were the teams that had a lot of game-changing plays.
GCP, is that what we'll call it?
I like that. Okay,
the GCP?
Yeah, I haven't even thought about that yet.
Hey,
so
look, Kurt, you know I'm all about branding and packaging here. You know, I'm trying to. I also like leaving people in a better spot than when I found them. So this team's got as number one in GCP.
In GCP,
okay. Right?
And apply that.
So not only do I like this for many reasons. One, I like leaving people smarter. I like smart things. Okay, I like smart things that include punting. But most of all, this is making Michael Irvin jealous. And exactly. I love it. Oh,
that's the best part of all of it, right? And the thing is that Irv will probably never be able to figure out what this is. So he'll be talking about this every time we mention it. He's like, what is that again? I don't know what goes into that. I don't know. He just will never be able to wrap his mind around it, which is even more beautiful.
The last time I saw him have a reaction similar to when he heard you had your own stat was when he saw Ray Lewis give his Hall of Fame speech using one of those microphones that come from his ear, right? Like one of those Madonna mics.
Yeah.
And he's like, how did he get that? I never got that. Like, it's the last time.
That was a beautiful moment. Caught on tape.
All right,
I love
Kurt.
It.
Well, thanks for doing this. I'll see you on the Zoom tomorrow. And you know, I'm here to back your play with the GCP.
I love it. The GCP.
There you
it's
go.
It's going to become a thing.
Yes,
it's
Kurt,
a trend.
Kurt
All
Warner.
Right, my man.
All right, there you go. Right back at it. Thanks for doing it. That's Kurt Warner, Hall of Famer, at KurtWarner13 on Twitter and Instagram. Game-changing plays. Hey, look, and I'm going to say this to him tomorrow, to his face on the Zoom, you know, where he's humble. He's the humble bragger of Zoom offices.
Well, because he's got the MVP trophy and the Man of the Year.
Walter Payton Man of the Year, and it just, he only.
It's amazing.
It's so funny. He sits there, okay, and he's got his wife's amazing metalwork on the walls, okay, and then the NFL's amazing metalwork in the form of the Walter Payton Man of the Year trophy, just right off the side. So I called him out, and I'm like, hey, man, you know, I know, you know, we all don't have Walter Payton Man of the Year awards just lying around there, Kurt, you know. Nice humble brag.
He's got the mini Lombardi.
You know, and you know what he does? Does he basically go, oh, come on, Rich, oh, shucks. This is who Kurt Warner is.
Yeah.
Oh, shucks, come on now. Don't call me out like that, gee whiz, which everyone thinks. No, he takes his camera and he moves it a little bit further
so
you could see the MVP award.
And the Lombardi.
And the Lombardi trophy.
Yep.
He moved it. Oh, that's not all, Rich.
Yeah, that's not all I got.
Now he's got his own stat. And by the way, you are wondering sometimes, how does a 12-win team not get deep in the playoffs? This exact stat, I would say, again, if it should be punts inside the 10. That's a game changer.
Yes.
You know, if the ball's on a 19, it's not the same as the ball being inside the 5. Like, that's, and you should get more points if it's inside the 5 and inside the 10. I don't want to confuse the issue, but if we're just parsing out the punting, he should come to me.
I mean,
that's true. You are the punting.
You are the punting guy.
Let him be the Hall of Fame quarterback,
yep,
and let me be the punting guy when it comes to the game-changing plays, to the GCP. I'm about the branding and the punting. He can have the rest of the statistic.
We have SCMs, Rich.
What is
show
that?
Changing moments.
Show changing.
Like Ernest Borgnine yesterday was a show changing. I got a point for that.
When somebody called and said that he saw Cam shopping, and I said, who have you ever seen shopping? And then you just blurted out the name Ernest Borgnine for the first time in the history of the show. I don't think anybody's ever mentioned the star of Marty and more.
And more.
And the Poseidon Adventure, I think.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm not mistaken. Spoiler alert. Doesn't end well for Marty. First. Okay.
Anyone?
844-204-RICH, number to dial. When we come back, three games that nobody's talking about. The rest of this week three schedule, we begin opening it up right here. And to you at 844-204-RICH as well.
Sports keep coming back. So does your chance to bet on them with our exclusive wagering partner, BetOnline. Major League Baseball is now in full swing, and the NBA has also begun. There's no shortage of ways to get in on the action. BetOnline has all the odds, futures, and props for you to bet on. Visit BetOnline today to check out all the odds and up-to-date sports news. Don't forget to sign up and take advantage of all the Welcome Back to Sports bonuses. BetOnline, your online wagering experts. Visit our good friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One. BetOnline to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Sign up for a free account and make sure to use that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. Visit betonline.ag and don't forget that promo code PODCAST1 for your sign-up bonus. BetOnline. Your online sportsbook experts.
844-204-RICH, number to dial right here on Peacock. Also at Rich Eisen Show on both Twitter and Instagram. Desus and Mero are going to be joining us in hour number two. Two guys from the Bronx, New York. We've got a fun conversation with them in the shoot. I Zoomed with them on Wednesday. Hilarious. I cannot tell you. This is like everywhere. Definitely all in need of a laugh. These guys provided Aaron Rodgers in hour number three as well. That was the mulligan I want back, man. I want no piece of the Minnesota Vikings anymore, and I can't imagine why.
Same.
I fought that, and I want no piece of them any longer.
Yeah.
And the team that's right up there with them in the NFC North is part of some games coming up this weekend that I don't think enough people are talking about. And every single week here on our Friday show, we come up. Chris Brockman's going to give you some picks to make some money. I've got the unlockiest lock of the week. Rich Eisen show back here here on the Mightier 1090. And so I tell you one game that I have a feeling that this team might pull off an upset. Don't hold me to it in the unlockiest lock of the week. Also, we're going to go higher register, where we've got to go higher register to explain that we really believe something. Again, the higher register take of the week. Like, hey, you know, this team, look at the Dolphins may have something going now after last night. I mean, you got to go higher register
magic.
To actually
it's
believe
magic,
it.
Right, exactly. Address. There you go.
So that's coming up later on. But every single Friday as well, I'm going to have you focus on some other games that might not be at the top of the marquee. I'd like to hit some of them with you right here on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Right now with the Rams and the Buffalo Bills. First
yeah,
up.
Yeah, buddy.
First up, man. All three of these games are in the early windows because, look, the late game windows are
stacked.
Well, Jets and Colts are in it, too. So, I mean, I'm not going to throw that one out there. And Arizona and the Lions are
that's going to be a fun game to watch.
Well, it will be a fun game to watch. But I'm just talking about, you know, there's a lot on the line in these games. And in terms of the Rams and the Bills, you got two 2-0 teams, and it's just like, okay, well, the Bills are the Bills, right? I don't understand why people just aren't buying what Josh Allen is doing right now. Well, it was two crappy teams, huh? Jets and Dolphins. I mean, the guy had a 300-yard game. The Bills have not had a 300-yard passing game since Tyrod Taylor. And I already told you what Tyrod Taylor's been up to. We all know he's with the Chargers this year and with the Browns and the Chargers last year. I mean, it's been a while. And then after coming up with the first 300-yard game in many a moon, he throws a 400-yard game. I don't know what's going on with their running game, but Stephon Diggs is exactly who the Vikings are missing, and he is now there. They got a bunch of guys who hit you hard, offense and defense. And then the Rams. Well, we're all talking about Seattle. And we're all talking about Kyler Murray. Hear how many more people are on the Kyler Murray bandwagon that I hopped on in February. And so, no one's talking about the Rams. Was that Kyle Brandt earlier this week who said Sean McVay is totally forgotten all of a sudden? Yeah, it was Kyle Brandt. That all of these young coaches that we're talking about from LaFleur and obviously even Zach Taylor from Los Angeles, from the McVay staff. Yep. Now suddenly McVay is just, you know, just yesterday's news. And they don't have Todd Gurley anymore. And they don't have Brandon Cooks anymore. So there's nothing to talk about except for the fact that they have Aaron Donald and they've got Jalen Ramsey and they've got an offense with McVay dialing it up. They're 2-0. They could easily win this football game, which, by the way, would make the Rams maybe the best 3-0 team in the league. Why? Because they go from Los Angeles to the East Coast, beat the Eagles, back to Western New York, beat the Bills, go back. That's a big game.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Then you've got the Falcons at 0-2 with the Bears, who need this. Why? Because Rodgers is playing out of his skull. All right, if you think that all these other teams that Rodgers is playing right now in division, he's already 2-0 in division, and then you think the Bears, the way that they've been playing with Trubisky, they can go point for point with Aaron Rodgers, the way that they're playing on offense, with Aaron Jones hitting his head on the goalpost once out of every, like, what, six touches? They need to win this game, and they better get used to having to go point for point with Rodgers, because going point for point with the Falcons. One thing the Falcons have – the reason why the Falcons are 0-2 has nothing to do with the fact that they haven't been able to score. Well, they have. They can't stop anybody. Or they were beginning to stop the Cowboys, and they had them stopped, and then they couldn't stop staring at a spinning football. So that's what happens to bad teams, is that they lose games they should win, and then they lose games at home that they aren't even in. Julio Jones is clearly not himself. Falcons need 0-3 for the Falcons to get started. That would be a second straight year where they start in disaster territory. So a game time decision for Julio Jones, according to Ian Rappaport.
Oof.
The Bears, I don't know how many times you could say a 2-0 team needs to be 3-0, but this is a situation where you could say that. And a team that's reeling, a team that's not healthy, a team that has their backs against the wall. Bears go to 3-0 against that team. That would be very impressive for them. And then the last game is Tennessee and Minnesota. I don't understand what's going on with Minnesota other than the fact that I had them to win it all, and they've been terrible. Cousins has been awful. The offense has been awful. I mean, Dalvin Cook is not a factor until the fourth quarter when it's all over. Defensively, they're getting sliced up. And here comes Derrick Henry downhill to hit you in the mouth. And he didn't even really have a good week two game against the Jaguars, which he normally, you know, has 200 yards against him in his sleep. So he's about to get uncorked. And then Jadeveon Clowney and the rest of that defense with Kirk Cousins sitting back there the way that he looked with a passer rating that's just north of a bar mitzvah age.
You like that?
I mean, it's been brutal. It's been brutal. And you've got the Colts at 1-1. They should be 2-1 with the Jets coming in. And you want to go to Minnesota. You don't want to be the first loss for Minnesota. The only positive would be that it wouldn't be a conference loss. This is an out-of-conference game for them. But to go 3-0 would be particularly nice for them. They'd be up in front of a division where you could already tell, you know, Houston's in trouble. Could Houston be 0-3? But that they're not in this mix here because everybody's talking about them in terms of the Steelers and the Texans. Juju Smith-Schuster sitting down with Michael Irvin for NFL Game Day morning on Sunday. That's another reason why you should tune into the four-hour program, as well as the game-changing plays statistic that Kurt Warner's come up with. Those are my three games that hardly anybody's talking about under the radar. Rams and Bills, particularly strong game.
How are you leaning in that game?
I'm leaning...
I'm leaning Rams.
I am too.
Yeah. I don't really know. I just am.
But Josh Allen is going to. He's. Wouldn't it be remarkable if Kyler Murray doesn't finish in the top three in MVP voting?
Josh Allen
because
does.
Josh Allen does, and he is playing like that. And I did say that my coach of the year candidate coming in, because you got to look for somebody who's never won it. You got to look for somebody whose team breaks out. And, you know, sort of in the Matt Nagy mold of 2 years ago, where guys never won it before, team breaks out, quarterback starts to blossom. You know, obviously Andy Reid last year because team breaks out, right? That's why I said Sean McDermott, that the Bills I thought were going to win this division with 11-12 wins, and McDermott would be the coach of the year.
Yeah, games like this are so important, especially for Buffalo. Normally, they don't win these games. So if they want to be that AFC East contender, if they want to be that AFC contender, they've got to take care of business at home.
Certainly with the way Cam's looking.
Yeah.
Certainly with the way Cam's looking.
But the Pats don't have an easy game on Sunday either.
Here comes Vegas. Week three's lit.
Week three's nice.
That we're talking about these games that hardly anybody's talking about because of so many important other games as well. Your phone calls at 844-204-RICH. We will take them at the top of the next hour. And then we get to Desus and Mero, two very funny guys. Not like clowns, not like they amuse you. Not funny how. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. It's One Hit Wonder Day in America. Is that really
buddy.
It?
Of course.
Okay. And so who's the one hit wonder of the NFL?
Who's the greatest NFL one hit wonder? Tyree, Larry Brown, Timmy Smith, Peyton Hillis.
What do things stand right now?
Peyton Hillis leads the way 48%.
I don't understand that.
Well, Peyton Hillis might have the technology to hack everything, right?
I mean, these other guys.
Doesn't he work for the CIA or the FBI? Is that the rumor?
Wasn't that
something like that?
If he works for the CIA, we won't know it.
That's true. I mean, look, I had him on a fantasy team that year, but come on.
That's why he wound up on the cover of Madden. Oh, he's the Don Bowie singing RG3. That's like a hot take.
Still in the league.
Hour number two coming up.
Welcome to the MIP.
Yeah.
The Michael Irvin Podcast.
You knew this was coming.
Guess who?
Let me start this thing off.
Join me every week for the Michael Irvin Podcast. We'll give you the full MIP experience. I'm talking everything from football to fashion. I will be chopping it up with playmakers, headline makers, and I am throwing haymakers. I'm the MVP of the MIP. Don't miss it.
Download new episodes of the MIP, the Michael Irvin Podcast, every Thursday on Apple Podcasts, Podcast One, and Spotify.